Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. Well, we're going to start with a tip of the week. That's why are we starting with a tip of the week, you say? Because I didn't get the tip of the week in at the end of the last hour. So this is your Cleveland Clinic Real Age tip of the week. What vitamins should you take? Is a multivitamin enough or too much? If you shove your multivitamins in a dark corner because of scare headlines, yeah, one of them actually said your multivitamin may be killing you, go dig them out. Let me tell you why. If you're a man over 50, and I am, or a man over 70, and I just turned that, you actually get a reduction in cancer by about 20%, and a reduction in cancer mortality by the same amount, and in recurrent cancers. Do we have data in women? No, it hasn't been studied that well in women. This is a randomized controlled trial in really healthy men. So even if you're healthy, it gives you an extra 20% boost. These were physicians, many of whom were already taking aspirin and who were doing physical activity, eating healthy. So multivitamin without copper or iron, unless you're premenopausal women, is what we recommend, half in the morning, half in the evening. A D2 or D3 supplement, that's vitamin D2 or D3, and get your level measured. We think you should shoot for levels over 35, preferably in the 50 to 80 range. It usually takes 1,000 international units before age 60, someplace around 2,000 from 60 to 75, and then 3,000 a day after that. 600 milligrams of calcium from a supplement, 600 from food, and 200 milligrams of magnesium from a supplement, which counters the constipation of the calcium. 900 milligrams of omega-3 DHEA, and that's the potent omega-3 fatty acid that protects against memory loss, heart attacks, strokes, impotence, even wrinkles. Get some lutein too, 20 milligrams a day, helps guard your vision. In fact, I did hear a ad for one of the physicians' eye vitamins, and yeah, I think that's probably a good thing to think about and to talk to your physician about, especially if you've got the early stages of macular degeneration, or if you're over the age of 70. We think lutein and zeaxanthin plus DHA are really incredibly helpful at decreasing your risk. And the real age benefit of getting your vitamins and supplements right, more than 2 years younger. And that's the real age tip of the first hour. We'll get the music to introduce it in the second hour. So I just want to alert Ben, I'm going to do another one at the end of the second hour. Remember, at 17 or 20 after, we have Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic, What's Not. You can send him as well as us questions every day at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. Just put in the subject line, question for Dr. Mike, and we'll answer it. Or question for the radio show. The interesting thing is one of the stories I was sent this week to go over is one I contributed to, 10 top medical breakthroughs that are coming this year. This is a story from AARP that said, what are the top 10 predictions? And they asked three nationally known experts. Francis Collins, who's director of the National Institute of Health, led the Human Genome Project that was done out of NIH, myself from the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute, and pathologist Mike Misalek of Tufts University. Personalized treatment was number one. What if you could get medical care tailored just for you based on your genetic information? Precision Medical Initiative, which is set to launch in about March this year, involves 1 million volunteers will be asked to share their genomic and other molecular information with researchers to understand factors that influenced health. The second one was busting brain clots. Yes, a tool to get rid of tiny brain clots will be a game changer for stroke. Now, instead of just getting a stent, you get a stent with a small stent retriever to get out the clot, and that will be coming in, is being used this year. A brain-limb connection. The goal of linking the brain to a robotic limb is to help paralyzed patients and amputees move naturally, is closer than ever. Previously, brain implants to help these artificial limbs have limited success because the person had to think about each individual action. Open hand, close hand, in order to move that limb. But now researchers are putting implants in the area of the brain that controls intention to move, not just the physical movement itself. This allows patients to fluidly guide a robotic limb. We think this will get FDA approval this year and have a major clinical impact on paralyzed patients. And there's a ton of new cancer vaccines coming. Currently has approved such vaccines for the treatment of advanced prostate cancer and melanoma, but we think there will be three new vaccines approved this year, a lung cancer vaccine as well will be tested here. It's been approved in Cuba. We don't know whether it really works in randomized controlled trials, so that will get tested as well. So there are 10 top stories. You can go to the AARP website. Wearable sensors is clearly one. Fighting superbugs is another one, as is faster vaccines and better cancer screening. We'll come back to some of those in future shows, but I thought you'd like to hear about those as well today. Let's go back to one of the stories I wanted to get to, which is having friends is good for you even when you're in your teens. This is a very interesting story because it talks about people in their teens rather than older people. That is, in older people, we know that this is important to help you keep connected, and that people who are connected have a much, have a less disability, less hypertension, less coronary artery disease, and live longer. And so that's from when you're connected in your relatively old age. But now we know that people who are connected even as early as their teenage years have a benefit. And let me read you, this is 14,000 people were looked at, and it was saying, it's in a prestigious journal, and after controlling for education, smoking, depression, alcohol consumption, diabetes, they found that a higher score on social integration index was associated with less inflammation and with a lower blood pressure and a lower waist circumference and less likely to be obese. So social isolation important even in your teens. So you want to get friends and talk. And it's not just Facebook friends. It's people you can really talk with, apparently. So that is one of the top stories we have on our news outlet. By the way, if you want to get the outlet, you just say subscribe. Send it to me, the list to UDocs. That's where you can ask us questions too. UDocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com. Send us questions, or if you send just in the subject line, we'll send you our weekly blast of the top news of the week. It's not short reading, it's 47 pages, but you can get to individual areas. Now, one of the things that was strange this week in the President's State of the Union address was, in fact, this new war on cancer. When we come back after Gary Ginsberg, we'll talk about that. But in the meantime, we have What's Toxic, What's Not, coming up with Dr. Gary Ginsberg on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why?
because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Did you know your eyes have hidden connections to your overall health? The Eye Care Revolution, an easy-to-read analysis of vision and health by Dr. Robert Abel Jr., is an authoritative guide that explains natural and conventional methods to prevent and even reverse many common vision disorders like cataracts, glaucoma, dry eye, macular degeneration, and diabetes-related vision loss. From high-tech laser treatments to centuries-old Asian remedies, the Eye Care Revolution, with a foreword by Dr. Mehmet Oz, provides amazing nutritional, herbal, homeopathic, and conventional methods to improve your eye health and overall health and wellness. Dr. Abel shares breakthrough information about eye strain, new developments in LASIK surgery, discusses how computers and texting are affecting our eyes, what you need to know about your children's eyes, the easy way to administer eye drops, antioxidant must-haves for your eyes, alternative therapies, and so much more. Order the Eye Care Revolution by Dr. Robert Abel Jr. on Amazon.com. That's the Eye Care Revolution.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
More than half of all Americans, including teenagers, don't drink enough water.
Waterlogged is a great app that will help you build good water habits with customized tracking and personalized reminders. Download Waterlogged from the iTunes App Store and start using your iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad to track and improve your water intake. Set your goals, record your consumption, and get Waterlogged's exclusive smart reminders to alert you when you're behind pace to meet your daily goal and when it's time to hydrate. Optimal water intake is a goal that you can successfully achieve, and it'll make a measurable impact on how you feel and your overall health, because every system in your body depends on water. People who use reminders are 5 times more likely to reach their goals consistently, so let Waterlogged help you stay on track. Waterlogged is compatible with Apple Health and Fitbit, so you can log your water with the best app in the App Store and get a full picture of your health in your favorite app. Download Waterlogged from the App Store or visit waterlogged.com.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Michael Waterlogged. That's a new app that I've never heard of. Gary, have you heard of that before?
Not me, Mike, no.
So we're talking with my favorite segment of the show, Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic, what's not. And Gary, I saw in your mailbag that someone got bit by a tick in December in Massachusetts. One, what was a tick doing there out that late in a year? And don't they know that they're supposed to die at that point in time, or hibernate or something? And
yeah.
Can they get Lyme disease?
Yes, they actually can. Yeah, the tick, it's a deer tick that carries the bacteria that can give you Lyme disease. And obviously Massachusetts is not, I mean, Lyme is in Connecticut, but the bacteria has spread through many states, including Massachusetts. And this late in the year, you wouldn't expect to get bit by a tick, but we've had a lot of warm weather. And even if it's been cold, then when it warms up again, some of the ticks can become reactivated. You wouldn't get as heavy an exposure or risk, but you still can get bit by a tick. And this particular person did. He reported that the tick was engorged with blood, so it was on him long enough to basically suck his blood. So there's definitely a potential for transmission. Now, I would say to that person, I did say to this person, that you got to go to the doctor right away and start taking prophylactic antibiotics. You just don't want to mess around with the chance that whatever tick bit you might or might not be carrying Lyme disease, because it's a couple of doses of antibiotics. And, you know, unless you're allergic to those antibiotics, you could take some probiotic if you're worried about what it does to your GI tract flora. But you definitely don't want to take a chance. And even if it's a month later, the antibiotics can still do some good. So this, and you know, the scientists and the climate scientists are saying that they are concerned that Lyme disease ticks will be active and will be feeding on humans later into the year as our climate changes, warms up, that you can see the tick season extend into November and December, because when you get a week of warm weather, you can start getting the tick populations rising back up. They think it's spring. So, in other words,
now, do they rise up because, do they get more prominent because the deers are still out, or do they get more prominent because they, in fact, multiply and don't hibernate, or do they get more prominent for both reasons?
Well, their populations drop off because of freezing weather. They can't handle the cold. But when you get a week of warm weather, their populations could start rising back up. And they will, as you say, go with the deer herds. And there are a lot of deer in New England these days. And the deer are quite active in the winter. So if it's warm out, the tick will find the deer. And the tick will find you if you're out there in the woods. So definitely, if you get bit by a tick. Of course, the risk is lower this time of the year because you're wearing more clothing. But if you, say, for example, sit down on a log to have your lunch, you certainly are, you know, a sitting duck, so to speak.
Oh, that's bad. Let's go and talk about another one of the stories that is relates to a bite, a mosquito in Brazil with pregnancy. What does that do to the brain and why?
Yes, now this is a fascinating one. So mosquitoes in Latin America, South America have been found to carry a virus, the Zika virus, which gives like sort of like a dengue fever, a rash, chills, some GI upset, and it's usually mild, self-limiting. If you get bit by a mosquito and you get this virus, it's not malaria. It's not nearly as risky as that, but it has been spreading. Cases of it have been increasing in places like El Salvador and Brazil. And now, here's an epidemiology. You might have a temporal association between the rise of, say, this mosquito and the rash, this really an outbreak of microencephaly, or small babies born with very small brains, shrunken brains, small head circumference, in Brazil at the same time. So there's a temporal connection. And so the theory is that the virus from the mosquito bite, the Zika virus, during pregnancy, maybe a lot of pregnant women wouldn't even know they got bit by the mosquito. They wouldn't remember it. They wouldn't maybe necessarily even have symptoms of the virus. But what the CDC investigators have gone down, they found in their latest research, two cases of women having miscarriages that had the Zika virus, able to find the footprint of the Zika virus found in their placentas, and two cases of of infants born, stillborn, with microencephaly, where the Zika virus was found in the brain. So they're scoring this strong evidence that the virus can actually cause this kind of a reproductive birth deformity and fetal death. And we don't have proof of that. We've got some evidence now. This is still a long way from proof. However, some health authorities are telling pregnant women who are trying to, who might become pregnant, that if you're traveling to places like El Salvador or Brazil, those kinds of Latin countries and South American countries, to watch out for mosquitoes and make sure that you are really well protected. You know, bring your DEETs, cover up. This, by the way, this particular mosquito bites during the day. So make sure you're not in mosquito-infested areas that you might get bit. Just make sure that you're, you know, like all the other precautions you take during pregnancy, this is one of those if you're traveling to those endemic countries.
Now, Gary, but this is, I mean, we're about to have an Olympics in Brazil, right? In the Summer Olympics, you would expect the mosquitoes to be out in full force. Does this mean, is this a new, I take it from the way you've said this is a new virus, and we don't even know how common it is in the
It's not that new. It's been in the Middle East, for example. It has spread into South America and is becoming much more numerous there, and I'm not an entomology epidemiologist. I don't know why. I could not find an explanation of its spread. It may have to do with changing climate, changing populations, but it has gotten a foothold. So you're right. With the Olympics, I have a feeling what they will do is any of those main venues will be very well sprayed by certain pesticides that will knock down the mosquito populations, just like what happens here in New England when we worry about West Nile virus. And those times of the year, in September, for example, when those titers are high, some communities get sprayed with pyrethroid insecticide to knock down the mosquito populations and protect the local population.
Can you stay after the break? Because I want to talk about the British TV star who's convinced that mercury dental amalgams ruined her health.
Sure, Mike. I'll hang around.
Great. So when we come back, we've got two stories that are really great stories that Gary has for us. One is on a British TV star who's convinced that the mercury in her dental amalgams ruined her health. How likely is that, and how do you monitor, and how do you get rid of it if that is a problem for you? And the second is how breast cancer feeding is also good for mom. It lowers her cancer and her diabetes risk. It's another reason why breastfeeding after pregnancy is a good thing. It's good for the baby, and it's good for mom, too. When we come back, we'll also talk about why you keep playing the lottery and aspirin for cancer prevention. We'll go over a short summary of that. We'll be right back, and, of course, our tip of the week. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Gary Ginsberg, his website, whatstoxic.com. Stay tuned and stay well.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herbs or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving them to his family from the very start. You can find Michael's products at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or visit michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation today. That's michaelshealth.com.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels, and that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Radio MD.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
What does the word organic really mean?
So organic really means there's a lot of human labor put into the food that you're consuming. So it could mean there's no pesticides that are applied to seeds and to plants. There's no antibiotics or growth hormones, that are being used in animal products. And it also, in most cases, means that there's no GMO seed that's being used.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week.
What's GMO? What does non-GMO mean?
Okay, so GMO, this is a good one. So GMO stands for genetically modified organisms. So the question is whether or not a seed or a plant has some genetically modified gene in it.
It's health delivered daily. Listen live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD. And we have hung over, we have carried over, we have demanded, and he's nice enough to say yes, because he's the best, and it's the best segment. Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic, what's not? Why do I call it the best segment? Because I learn an awful lot from Gary and his website, whatstoxic.com. Gary, tell us about this story about the British TV star who was convinced that her mercury dental amalgam ruined her health. First of all, tell us what amalgams are. And what is mercury still used in dental amalgams?
Oh yes, Mike. It's not just for when I was a kid and dentists were heavily using mercury as part of the metal composite that was going in to fill cavities. It's still used today. There are certain cavities that the plastic acrylics are fine for. And there are certain deeper cavities or further back in the mouth cavities that tend to be wetter and would tend to also get reinfected more easily. And they like to use the mercury or the metal-based amalgam, which has mercury in it, it just lasts longer. So you can always tell the dentist, no, I don't want any mercury amalgams, and they will fill your cavity with the plastic resins. But no, they're still being used anyway. This particular TV star in Britain, Jamila Jamil, she has a dazzling smile. She's quite gorgeous from her pictures online. But she's had trouble for 7 years with rashes, stomach upset, migraines, feeling like she's got an autoimmune condition. They weren't sure if she might have lupus, which is a concern for women in that age group. And they ruled that out. They ruled out any autoimmunity. And turned out she had, according to blood tests, high levels of mercury in her blood. And she's feeling better now that the mercury levels have come down. Where did the mercury come from? Well, she believed, and it is possible, it is theoretically possible, that it came from her dental amalgam. So she had 10 cavities that had been filled at some point in her life. I don't know if it was a child or whatever, but oftentimes they, you know, you get these cavities when you're kids. She had 10 fillings that could well have been leaking. They might not have been sealed well. They might have been leaking mercury into the rest of her system. She had the amalgam fillings removed. There was some evidence that, you know, her mercury levels went down. She's feeling better, and so she claims it's the amalgam. But when people have amalgam in their mouth, they, even if you have 10 cavities filled, the science shows that you get very, very little, minuscule amounts of the mercury amalgam released from the tooth getting into the bloodstream. So it's a bit of a mystery. Her case is a bit of a mystery where the mercury came from in her blood. It may have been, you know, one theory is that her blood work may have not been, that accurate on the first round of testing. And you know, the declining levels may have also something to do with just going to different labs. But normally we think of mercury amalgam as less exposure to mercury than from a can of tuna a week, if you've got, say, 10 cavities in your mouth filled with amalgam. So it doesn't jive with the rest of what we know about mercury amalgams. Now, when you have them removed, you can definitely get a spike, because as they're removing them, especially if you're removing 10 at once, they often will do it in over the course of two or three sittings, so that you don't get a big spike of mercury into your blood, but that could increase the release all at one time. So anyway, an interesting case. What I tell people is if you've got mercury amalgams, it's not the first thing to be concerned about in terms of your mercury exposure. You're going to get more from eating tuna fish. And we think that eating a can or two of tuna fish a week is fine. So we don't really make a big deal about the mercury amalgam. And in fact, the form of mercury in tuna fish, methylmercury, is more harmful than the form that's in mercury amalgam. So it's all an interesting story, but I bring it up just to try to clear the air, hopefully not to confuse, but to clear the air, that I don't think, as a toxicologist, mercury amalgams are something that you need to remove from your mouth.
So, and one of the things we should know is there is a hazard from the composite, the plastic, if you will, plasticizers. So make sure they put on something that protects you from breathing it and has excellent ventilation, because those plasticizers are not harmless either. So, and if you are going to have a mercury amalgam again, make sure you protect yourself from the mercury vapor by having high airflow in the dental office. Gary, now, breastfeeding we know is good for the child. It helps the child's immune system, helps with brain development, and obviously bonding. But you say in addition to bonding, it's good for the mom because it does other things. What else does it do?
Well, we know that breast cancer risk has a lot to do with overall exposure to estrogen. And when you're lactating and breastfeeding, estrogen levels stay low. So if you're nursing a child for 6 to 8 months, you're that 6 to 8 months more time that your estrogen levels, and probably there's a halo effect around that where the estrogen levels stay low. And so women who never breastfeed have higher breast cancer rates. And one study, the study that just I'm reporting about, the most invasive, the most dangerous form of breast cancer, they found women who breastfed had 20% lower risk of that hormone-resistant form of breast cancer. And that's huge, because if you're talking about, millions of cases out there, and if you could knock that rate down by 20%, that's a lot of lives that you could save. So, women obviously who never get pregnant, well, there's not much they can do about that. Having children and breastfeeding, both separately are separate. Both the act of having a child and the act of breastfeeding, both are separate contributors to avoiding breast cancer risk. And one theory is that I like the way this was described in this paper. It helps the breast tissue mature and fully differentiate and fully evolve and keep it away from the cancer phenotype and more towards the more fully mature phenotype. So it's just a nice way to think about breastfeeding. Now, the other thing that breastfeeding seems to do is cut down the risk of gestational diabetes. And it turns out that a fair number, about 10% of women postpartum, go on to develop type 2 diabetes, and that rate is cut in half or more by breastfeeding. So there you go. A double reason why not only breast is best for the baby, but also for mom. Breastfeeding, that is.
Now, wait a second. Breastfeeding, this is, if you've had gestational diabetes, how does this protect you if you're breastfeeding after you've been pregnant? Is it for the next pregnancy, or is it from getting sick?
No, because if you've had gestational diabetes, in about 10% of women, it doesn't just go back to normal, and you carry on a higher diabetes risk as a remnant of pregnancy. And so this cuts into that risk by changing your lipid management, but your biochemistry is altered by breastfeeding.
Gary Ginsberg, whatstoxic.com. Thanks very much. Look forward to talking with you next week. And in the meantime, we've got to give you a great big applause. Thank you, Gary. And we'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We've got a tip of the week as well as a bunch of other stories. Why do you keep playing the lottery? Friday feedback. Aspirin for cancer prevention, and the tip of the week, who should you be most generous to?
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and this product is not intended to diagnose, cure, treat, or prevent any disease.
Awaken your mind with Exact, a new dietary supplement designed to help you gain a mental edge. Exact fuels your natural brain chemicals to unleash mental energy and stamina, providing the intense focus and drive you need to initiate important tasks and push through challenges. With Exact, you can think smarter, faster, and stronger, because Exact supports faster reaction time and memory recall with improved problem-solving skill and accuracy. Exact contains ingredients from traditional Chinese medicine and Indian Ayurvedic medicine. No synthetic drugs or chemicals. Exact is created from herbs that have been safely used by healers for thousands of years. Experience a new kind of energy, mental energy, and get the focus and breakthrough mental edge you need to succeed with Exact. Learn more about the science behind Exact, see what customers are saying, and try Exact 100% risk-free at ExactMind.com. That's the letter X, ACTMind.com. ExactMind.com.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, If you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and the Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about that.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish, and it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen, and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer. End treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer. But find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And to me, one of the great things we get to talk about on this show is the new advances. We did do the top 10 things that three experts, I'm one of those, that AARP talked about for the next year. But one of those that is in the future is this. The tiny robot team could help stop the number one killer in America. What it is. What if you could install nanobots, that's really small robots, into your blood system to automatically and autonomously clear your arteries, thereby preventing you from having a heart attack or stroke, or even a lot of other problems. An international team of researchers from the U.S., South Korea, and Switzerland are collaborating on this very task. And this year, they'll begin trials on mice. The nanobot molecules will be able to deliver drugs to soften clogged arteries, then drill to break up the blockages. An MRI machine serves as the command and control center, as well as the power source for the robots. If all goes well, human trials will begin in 2019. Wow. As powerful computing capabilities continue to dematerialize and demonetize, it won't be long until you and I have an army of robot surgeons inside our body detecting cancer, breaking up clogged arteries, and monitoring your health in real time. When is this? Ray Kurzweil, who's the chief innovation officer at Google, said, "This is likely by 2030, most likely that we have a cure, if you will, or prevention of cancer, heart disease, and many of the chronic diseases delivered by robot sometime in the year 2023 or 2024. And that is a real wow for me, a tiny robotic team that can stop cancer and heart disease and really treat them. Wow. You know, I can't even say anything other than wow. That's how crazy and wonderful that is. There are other really new and wonderful things that we should talk about, and I'm going to talk about a couple of them right now. One is, why do we keep playing the lottery, or why do you keep playing it? Well, this is, if you will, from the recent more than $1 billion lottery. Six numbers have the power to change your life. Well, the real reason we do this and that we kept contributing and making it over $1 billion is that we have the Cinderella complex. That is, there's a fairy godmother who's coming in and going to save us. We've all heard the statistics. Your chance of winning the Powerball jackpot in from one ticket are about 1 in 175 million. You're more likely to die from a bee sting, 1 in 6 million, be struck by lightning, 1 in 3 million, or have conjoined twins, 1 in 200,000, than the 1 in 175 million. But people keep playing, and most likely it's because the thought of winning is much more fun than the thought of being attacked by a shark, 1 in 11.5 million. The lottery industry is often criticized for this being a tax on people who failed math. That is an unfair tax on the poor. On the average, the households that make less than $12,400 a year spend 5%, or roughly $600 a year, on their income on lotteries. Now, if you look at it, there's a very interesting study that was done by Carnegie Mellon, and it was, if you give people a dollar at a time, how likely are they to buy lottery tickets? And the answer was, they spent all five of their dollars they were given one at a time on buying it. How about in a second group, they were given $5 and asked how many tickets they wanted to buy, and they bought about 50% of their $5 was spent. Then they were given $5 and said, you can either spend it all on lottery tickets or none of it. You have to make an all or none choice. 87% did not spend any money on lottery tickets. What's the message here? Is that if you have a real small spend, you're likely to keep spending it and not save it. Whereas if you have money and you're forced to make an all or none decision, you may make a rational choice about that money. So why do you keep playing the lottery? It's, if you will, that Cinderella complex, that someone's looking after you and you gotta at least make the bet in order to have a chance of winning. Is cancer good for cancer prevention? The answer is yes, but before we get there, I'd like to do the Real Age Tip of the Week. I'm always afraid of not getting to the Tip of the Week. That's why I did the last hours in this first hour. If you want to hear it, you can hear it again if you just tuned in. This is the second Tip of the Week this hour, and it is the second for today. And this is, there's generous. Who should you be generous to? There's generous, as in Bill and Melissa Gates donating billions, or Oprah handing out scholarships to the girls to the school in South Africa, or even Oprah handing out cars. Then there's generous in giving your partner a travel mug of fresh coffee and an extra kiss in the morning when you're both late. Small acts of kindness and affection have a larger impact on the happiness of your marriage rather than intermittent grand gestures. During the time-pressured, budget-tense days when everyone's juggling tasks, try hitting pause. Sure, sex, commitment, and communication are vital too, but so is that generosity. Go give it. The real age benefit of a great partnership with your spouse, more than 8 years younger. And that's the real age tip of this week. And a great tip it was. Now, what else did we discuss this week? Well, I'm going to quickly review a couple things before we have to sign off. Gizmos don't work for low back pain. Exercise, any exercise, work best at preventing back pain in a large study. Why do some incentives work for weight loss and others fall flat? You've got to have intermediate incentives where they get partway that you give incentives for. Positive feedback along the way and then make it a huge incentive. Sugary drinks, yes, a sugary drink a day, just 100 calories of sugary drinks a day added to 1.8 more pounds of visceral fat at the end of the year. Should women avoid potatoes before pregnancy? Yes. The potatoes in the 3 months before and during pregnancy, if you had two potato servings a day, that added up to a 30% increased incidence of diabetes and gestational diabetes. Can we use fecal matter to help treat obesity? We don't know yet. Large study in people who are thin giving their poop to people who are fat in pill form after it's been, if you will, put into a pill and given to you. We'll be back next week with a fresh show on You, the Owner's Manual Show. Remember, coming soon, robots, nanorobots to get inside you and treat what you need. So stay well in the meantime.